listening to Forecast, the marketing podcast for professional services leaders. If you're looking to generate more leads, win more deals, and take your firm to the next level, this show is your shortcut. Hey there, and welcome back to the show. This is part two of our series on how to choose your ideal clients. In this lesson, I'm going to give you the four questions that you can ask to identify who your ideal clients are, the clients that you're made to work with, the clients who appreciate what you do most and are happy to pay whatever you want to charge. But first, if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, that is a great place to get started. You can join us inside the course at no charge by visiting 5leadgen.com. That's 5leadgen.com, and you can spell out 5 or use the number. Either one works. So let's kick off this lesson with a little-known story about the prolific business and marketing author Seth Godin. Back in the day, Seth Godin used to be a book packager. He had started a company that would pitch book ideas to publishers, things like encyclopedias, almanacs, that kind of stuff. And when they won a deal, they would then begin the work of packaging the book, which included things like finding authors, building the editorial team, and so on. Now, at one point, the company's largest client represented a third of their business. This client brought in a lot of money and allowed them to expand their team and hire more people. But the client also happened to be a nightmare to work with. For a bunch of different reasons, working with that client drained the life out of Seth and his company. And it got so bad that it came to a point where Seth had to make a decision. Either they continued down the same path that they were on and they just kind of put up with the client's demands, but then not only would they continue to exhaust themselves pleasing this one client, which definitely has an opportunity cost, they would also develop a reputation as the book packaging company that doesn't mind getting pushed around. Or the more gutsy approach would be that they could fire that client, take on a massive financial risk, and somehow hope that the company would bounce back and find better clients. Now, if you know anything about Seth Godin, it should come as no surprise to you that he did, in the end, fire them. And that was a bold move. Because it's not like he was flying solo and only putting himself at risk. He had staff, he had bills, and he had overhead, and it took a lot of guts to do what he did. But within 6 months of firing that client, they had brought in more than enough business to make up for what they had lost, and the new business was much more aligned with their values as a company. Now, this is not to minimize all the hard work that must have gone into bringing in that new business in those 6 months, but the point that we need to learn from this story is that getting rid of that toxic client gave them the time and the headspace to pursue better deals. And suffice to say that Seth Godin refers to this event as one of the biggest turning points in his career, because this is when he realized why choosing your clients is the most important business decision that you'll ever make. Now, let me put you at ease by telling you that you don't have to fire your clients. You don't have to do what Seth did. Maybe your clients are not nearly as bad as his was, but if you do take a good hard look at your client roster, I'm sure you'll find that some of your clients are a better fit than others. The top 20% of your client base are probably in a league of their own in terms of having the right fit and working with you. And the goal here is to help you find more of those clients. But the first step is to identify who those clients are. Who is your ideal client? And while we're talking about Seth Godin, I'm going to borrow his criteria for choosing who you should work with. The first is to find a client who has money. Now, this sounds pretty obvious, but you'd be surprised how often I see people chasing clients that can barely pay the bills. How much money does a client need? Well, that depends on how much you're charging and what the service is worth to them. There's no hard and fast rule, but if you've noticed that some clients are consistently late in paying invoices or are always haggling you on fees, that's a pretty clear indication that your targeting is off. You want to work with clients who have the money to pay and will gladly pay for the value that you provide. This one is non-negotiable. Number two is to find a client who knows they have a problem. There's a big difference between having a problem and knowing you have a problem. It is infinitely easier to sell to a customer who already knows they have a problem and are actively looking for a solution. Because if they don't know they have a problem yet, you actually have two sales to make. First, you have to sell them on the idea that they have a problem. And second, you have to sell them on your solution to the problem. Two sales, twice the work. So you'd be much better off targeting clients who already know they have a problem and are looking for solutions, and these are called motivated buyers. Think of it this way. When your kitchen sink has a leak, and assuming that you're as inept at dealing with these things as I am, then you're going to call a plumber to come in and solve the problem. The plumber doesn't go door to door asking you if you have a leak. He doesn't call you up and try to convince you that your kitchen sink is about to leak. That would be a gigantic waste of time. He waits for you to notice the leak and then call him, because by then, you're motivated to solve the problem. The third criteria is to find a solution that only you can provide. Now, this is where it starts getting a little bit tricky, because chances are you offer a pretty standard list of services that looks almost identical to your competitors. But you want to get to a point where you're delivering a service like nobody else can. And that starts with choosing a problem that you excel at solving and then engineering a solution that's unique. Because if you offer the same stuff everyone else does, but just claim to do it better or faster or cheaper, that's a pretty quick race to the bottom. When buyers are confronted with a bunch of choices that look pretty much the same, they're likely to choose based on price, which is not good for you. But if your solution is clearly differentiated, if the way that you approach the problem is unlike everyone else, if it's clear that you have a unique approach that has advantages over your competitors, that's where the magic is. So here's a personal example. Many of my competitors are marketing agencies. They operate on the traditional agency or firm model, where you have a few founders at the top who run the show and then some cheap labor at the bottom who do the work. Now, I've opted out of that business model. I've chose not to bring in anyone to replace the work that only I can do. Now, that allows me to stay lean and to keep my overhead as low as possible, which then enables me to lean in and invest a lot more time with my clients than the typical agency would. So I then become my client's in-house CMO, as opposed to an external agency that's just building a website or a marketing video. So what that means is I work with fewer clients, charge higher fees, and take on less stuff. Now, that's how I like to operate. Some might not. That's not the point. The point here is that that model, that approach to the solution, has differentiated me in the marketplace so that my clients know that when they hire boutique growth, they're getting a CMO-level marketer on their team, which they simply don't get in a typical agency relationship. The fourth and final criteria I want to share with you here is that you need to choose a client who will be eager to tell others about the work you do. Now, this is what Seth Godin calls being remarkable. How can you make your service remarkable? How can you make your solution and the work that you do with clients remarkable? There are two ways to approach this. One is to deliver the service itself in a way that's remarkable, and this is definitely the most powerful approach. You have to bake remarkability into the service itself. It has to be so unique and so beneficial that clients will tell others about it in the right context. Now, at some level, you're already doing this. You probably have some satisfied clients who are so happy with what you did for them that they've told others about you. This is the classic old-fashioned referral, and it's a really powerful thing. But what you need to do now is give your clients a better story to tell their peers. Give them something that's worth talking about. There's definitely a story there already. Your job is to find out what it is, make it better, and then amplify it. The second way to make your service remarkable is to offer an indirect benefit of working with you. There's this famous story that's been going around about the financial advisor who washes his clients' cars when they come in for a meeting. In that case, it's not the service itself that's remarkable. The financial planning advice that he's offering itself is not what gets talked about. It's something tied to the experience, and if you do that right, it can work like a charm. So those are the four criteria for choosing your ideal clients. One, you want to choose a client who has money. Two, you want to choose a client who knows they have a problem. Three, you want to deliver a service that only you can provide. And four, You want to do it in a way that makes them tell others. Once you find a customer segment where you can check off all four of those criteria, then you've got something really powerful. So that's all for this lesson. This was part two of our series on how to choose your ideal clients. Coming up in part three, we're going to look at how to get inside your customer's head so you can really begin to understand what they're looking for, what they want, their problems, their desires, what keeps them up at night, so that you can turn around and craft messages that get their attention, that position you for the sale, and that help you win more deals. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you haven't yet subscribed to the show on iTunes, do us both a favor, head over to iTunes, type in Forecast Marketing in the search bar, look for the show on the list, click on it, hit subscribe, and while you're at it, leave us a rating or a review. It helps more people discover the show. And finally, if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, that is a great place to get started, where I will walk you through a step-by-step process to generate a flood of new business for your firm, and you can get immediate access to the entire course at no charge by heading over to 5leadgen.com, and you can spell out 5 or use the number, either one works. That's 5leadgen.com. Thank you for listening.